Live from the College of Communication, Arts and Sciences at Michigan State University, it is now time to go beyond the X's and the O's with WKAR's current sports.
You want to go after an athlete, one of my athletes, come after me. I'm a man. I'm 40.
My style is impetuous. My defense is impregnable.
Well, I'm the best corner in the game. When you try me with a star receiver like Crabtree, that's the result you're going to get.
Yes, did I express to them I was mad? I was furious. Just furious.
I know my wife will at least shut fake one time.
We talking about practice, not a game.
And I told our players, you need to be more like a dog. We don't need a bunch of cats in here. Looking in the mirror. Do I look good? I got my extra bands on. I got my other shoes on. Be a dog. We don't need no meows. We don't need no cat.
Here's your host, L. Martin.
What is up, beautiful people? That's right. You are now locked into WKAR's current sports right here on this Monday, October 9th, 2017. Now 2 days removed from the big game. How about that game? Saturday night, the first ever night game between the Michigan State football team and the Michigan Wolverines in Ann Arbor at the Big House. It was a fun night despite the rain that ensued in the third quarter. But Michigan State stunning the college football world and topping a now previously ranked top 10 U of M team. We will have coverage from that game, as well as dialogue from the Spartans' win. And we'll also ask the question whether or not the expectations now have changed for Mark D'Antonio and his football program after that Saturday win over Jim Harbaugh and company. So we'll have plenty of coverage as the Spartans top the Wolverines on the back end of the show. We will also talk some NFL football as the Detroit Lions, not a great effort through three quarters, and then all of a sudden they turned it on in the fourth quarter as they've done many times dating back to last season, but it was too little, too late against Cam Newton and the Carolina Panthers. We will recap that matchup, and we will have weekend winners for you. Isaac, I must say, has a pretty funny weekend winner. He actually has two. Well, I don't know if you call them weekend winners, Isaac. Probably call them weekend losers, right? Am I right?
Oh, definitely losers. You know, I stay pessimistic on a Monday.
You do. You always do. That's one thing I've been telling you to work on more. but I tell you what, you know, you showed me a hilarious moment, an embarrassing moment from actually a U of M grad. So I guess we're just taking jabs at U of M fans all hour, I guess.
All day long.
Exactly. So Isaac will have two hilarious weekend losers for you. But we will invite our very own Caitlin Plug, who will join us during that segment. She has a weekend winner from the world of hockey. And speaking of Caitlin, we'll welcome Caitlin Plug as well as current sports PA John LeBlanc to help me right now with a segment that we usually start off the show with entitled Your Current Sports Quick Hit Headliners. Of course, we start with the Michigan State football win over the Michigan Wolverines at the Big House on Saturday. The final 14-10 behind a defense that only let up 300 total offensive yards for the Spartans and picking off U of M quarterback John O'Korn three times. A total of five takeaways for the Michigan State defense on Saturday night. Quarterback Brian Lewerke led the way for the Spartans not only in the air but also on the ground, leading the team. Yet again, in rushing yards, with 61 rushing yards on 15 attempts, with one of those attempts resulting in a touchdown. Diving head first past the goal line. What a touchdown that was for Lewerke. Defensive end Kenny Willekes had his way with the Wolverines offensive line. He had a total of, nine total tackles, with three of them being tackles for loss. Willekes would also have two sacks on the evening. The now number 21 Spartans, how about that? We haven't read the Spartans' name with a ranking in front of it for quite some time, but the Spartans are ranked 21st in the latest Associated Press college football poll and will take on the 3-2 Minnesota Golden Gophers, coached by P.J. Fleck, formerly of the Western Michigan Broncos, this Saturday on the road, kickoff scheduled for 8 p.m. So back-to-back weeks in which the MSU football team will play under the lights. The Golden Gophers are currently riding a two-game losing streak, losing to Purdue this past Saturday, 31-17, the final of that game. You can catch the Spartans and the Golden Gophers on BTN, the Big Ten Network. Also, the now number 17 Michigan Wolverines will travel to Bloomington, Indiana to take on the Indiana Hoosiers. They sit at 3-2. That game will take place on Saturday, kickoff at noon. You can catch that on ABC. The MSU hockey team took the ice in their first exhibition game. Well, I guess you could say technically second because, you know, if you count the green and white scrimmage, right? But they took the ice on Saturday and came out with a 3-0 dub over Toronto. How about that? Freshman forward Mitchell Lewandowski, was the big contributor, tallying an assist on each of the Spartans' goals. Both goaltenders, Ed Minnie and John Letheman, split the time in net and came away with a shutout win. Both faced only 7 shots and turned them all away. The Spartans would end the game with a shot advantage of 33-14 and went 1-for-3 on the power play. MSU's regular season begins October 13th this week when the Spartans take on Bowling Green on the road. Number 14, Michigan State women's volleyball came up with a big 3-1 win over number 7 Wisconsin this weekend in its third week of Big Ten play. MSU swept the season series from the Badgers for the first time since 2012. The Spartans and Badgers have only met once per season for the last 3 seasons. The Spartans' record now improves to 12-3 overall on the year, 5-1 in conference play. In that battle against the Badgers, MSU had 4 players record double-digit kills, which included Autumn Bailey, Holly Tolliver, Alyssa Garvalink, and Brooke Cranda. Bailey recorded her 4th double-dub of the Big Ten year with 16 kills, 13 digs, while Tolliver had 16 kills, 9 digs, 2 assists, and an ace. The Spartans will hit the road again to play number 2 Penn State on Friday, October 13th. John, what happened in the world of MSU men's soccer over the weekend?
With MSU men's soccer, they drew a tie against the Wisconsin Badgers this past Saturday night. It was a 1-1 tie. Juwan Jones scored the lone goal for the Spartans in the 60th minute, making his team lead 6th goal of the season. Jones also has 14 points on the season, which also leads the team. The now 9-1-2 Spartans will look to get Coach Renzing's 100th career win as the head coach of the Spartan program this Wednesday night against the West Virginia Mountaineers in Morgantown. This game is scheduled to kick off at 7 p.m.
How about that? Head coach Damon Renzing looking for number 100. Impressive stuff. All right. MSU women's soccer now. The MSU women's soccer team fell to Penn State this weekend. A 4-0 loss. Their season record now drops to 5-10-0 on the season and 1-7-0 in conference matchups. Penn State would claim its first goal in the 14th minute, but the Spartans would hold the Nittany Lions off from scoring again until the second half. Sophomore goalkeeper Riley Ott played 81 minutes and made a total of 4 stops before senior Savannah Wojtanowski came into play in the final 9 minutes. The Spartans next take on rival Michigan on Saturday, October 14th. The Detroit Lions lost their 2nd game of the season yesterday, falling to the Carolina Panthers 27-24. The Lions were down 27-10 going into the 4th and final stanza until the comeback man himself, Matthew Stafford, tried to take the lead, throwing 2 touchdowns to tight end Darren Fells in the last third of the 4th quarter. But Stafford still fumbled the ball twice on Sunday afternoon, losing one of them in the 3rd quarter. Cam Newton looked great on Sunday evening, completing 26 out of 33 attempts while throwing for 355 yards, 3 touchdowns. Panthers tight end Ed Dixon also had a day, accumulating 5 receptions for 175 yards. The Lions will take on Isaac's New Orleans Saints in week 6. The Saints are 2-2.
coming off a bye week. You can catch that game at 1 p.m. this Sunday, and that will air on Fox. Caitlin Plug, what happened with the Wings on Saturday?
Well, the Wings took the ice for the first time this weekend on their first road game against the Ottawa Senators. The Wings came out on top in a 2-1 shootout victory. Martin Furk was the only person to score a goal for the Wings, giving him 2 goals on the season, which is impressive. Brand new guy to the team, 2 goals already. And Franz Nielsen would be the one to take the shootout victory for the Wings. Jimmy Howard made a total of 37 saves and stopped all 3 shooters in the shootout. The Wings improved to 2-0-0. And the Red Wings will play tomorrow night against the Dallas Stars at 8:30.
All right, and you'll have more on the Wings during our weekend winner segment. All right, we'll see you later, Caitlin.
All right.
And this is a sad story. It kind of turned my stomach when I saw it because it is certainly an undervalued, I would call it a monument in Detroit sports history. The legendary boxing gym in Detroit, the Kronk Gym, was destroyed in a fire this past Saturday night. The building, which was built in the 1920s, was vacant at the time of the fire. Deputy Fire Chief Dave Fornell said on Sunday they received a dispatch call at 9:25 p.m. Fornell said when firefighters arrived at the building, flames were reaching out of the second floor. The firefighters battled the fire late Saturday night for 4 hours, with Fornell saying, quote, "We are listing the fire as suspicious as it is an ongoing investigation," end quote. The Kronk Gym was founded by Emanuel Stewart, the famous Emanuel Stewart, and became an international center for boxing. The Kronk Gym has been home to 41 world champion fighters, including Tommy Hearns and Lennox Lewis. The gym closed down back in 06, relocated to 9520 Meadow Street in Detroit. Kronk Gym is now owned by Stewart's daughter, Sylvia Stewart Williams. Sad news there. All right, that wraps up your current sports quick hit headliners. You know that number, 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. I know there are many Michigan State football fans out there that are chomping at the bit to be a part of the show, maybe talk some trash and analyze how the Spartans pulled off that win over the Michigan Wolverines on Saturday night. We now lead with that very story.
They all count one. It's a huge rivalry game. It's a huge game for us, but, you know, we're 4-1, and we're looking forward to next week now.
Teams are going
to
wake up. People are going to start paying attention. We just got to stay resilient in our approach and aggressive in our approach, and we'll make people wake up.
We knew we could beat them, and we were able to do it. I just think, you know, y'all are going to start to pay attention a little bit in the media and everything like that, but like I said, that doesn't waver our confidence either way.
It's up there. Way up there. You know, we did. We battled some adversity last year. We had some things going on. Obviously, we needed to bounce back. We made a commitment to do that as a football team and as a program, you know, way back in the spring.
We ain't the same team as last year. You know, we're not going to give up. You know, we're going to keep fighting. You know, we still got a lot of growing to do. Season's still long, you know, but we definitely want to kind of get the pass, you know, in the past, and I think winning tonight definitely did that.
I don't know. You know, we've done it 8 times.
We've done it 8 times, so, you know, I don't know why there's a lot of doubt.
That is how we start off this Monday edition of WKAR's Current Sports. Welcome to the show, ladies and gents, boys and girls. I am your host, Al Martin, and you are now locked into Current Sports right here on WKAR AM 870, 94.5 FM. You know what? We're right here on the campus of Michigan State University. That's where WKAR is located, right here live in Studio S. We're in Sparty Country, so I know that we have a ton of MSU football fans out there that want to celebrate a bit and will be celebrating for the next year until these two programs meet again on the football gridiron. So in light of that, this is one of my favorite cuts from Earth, Wind, and Fire. I want to give Spartan fans out there, wherever you are, if you're at your cubicle right now, if you're riding in the car, if you're listening, you know, at home on your couch, if you're outdoors walking your dog, take 10 seconds or 20 seconds right now just to dance a bit, Spartan fans. Crank that up, Isaac. Crank it up, man. I see you getting down out there, Spartan fans, and you deserve it. Huge win. Huge win on Saturday night at the Big House out in Ann Arbor. Isaac, I think you're still drying yourself off, dude. I felt bad. I was in the comfy press box as yourself and our intern, Karina Garcia, were shooting the game. And first half went great. But that third quarter, when that third quarter began, the rain started to come down. It was pretty bad, and you were cold and wet by the end of that game.
Oh, well, worth the rivalry, worth the game. I told Karina in the third quarter when the wind started to pick up, and that's one thing that's understated. The wind made a difference in this game. Mm-hmm. Let's keep it real. When it came to throwing the ball, the wind made a difference.
For sure.
I told her, winter is coming. And then once the storm came, winter was here. And boy, it was exactly what we hoped for.
Yeah,
gridiron grit last night, or Saturday night, excuse me, in the last matchup of MSU versus U of M. It was something special.
Yeah, and you know what? In the blink of an eye, you know, we all now view the Michigan State football team in a different light. Just like that. You know, we went from saying, all right, this team really hasn't been tested. And the test that they did have against Notre Dame, they failed under the lights at Spartan Stadium. Now you're going to play a top 10 ranked Michigan football team on the road in bad weather and win? Ha! Many people laughed, right? The Spartans going to the Big House and completely stunning a Michigan crowd of what? 112,432. Pretty impressive stuff. This is a Spartans team that yielded a perception of, quote, rebuild year in the eyes of many here in 2017. One in which no one expected this team to go to Ann Arbor and win against a Jim Harbaugh squad that, again, was ranked in the top 10. I mean, when we did our predictions here on the show, you know, all of our PAs, we had three PAs in studio. We had Mike Epps. We had Davey Seagal. We had Casey Harrison. And, of course, Isaac and myself. And we all chose Michigan to win this game, Isaac. And I think Michigan State fans that chose Michigan State to win more so did so because, hey, that's your team. That's your squad, right? May have went to Michigan State or may just love the Spartans. More so going with your heart and not your head in this matchup. Or maybe you're one of the few that said, you know what, this team has a shot. And I truly believe that Michigan State had a shot, but I didn't think they were going to win. I have to say that. So, you know, you look at this game and, you know, the Wolverines, man, yeah, this is a team that you looked at that defense at the very start of the year and said, wow, this defense is for real. But one man that continues to remind us just how good he is at this thing called coaching is Mark D'Antonio.
who completely outcoached Jim Harbaugh on Saturday. And I love the headliner, one of the headliners, numerous headliners, from the Detroit Free Press, you know, recounting this game as it alluded to just that, you know, Michigan State's Mark D'Antonio outcoaches Jim Harbaugh. Because that is truly what happened in this game. And Mark D'Antonio and that coaching staff pulled out a few things that we haven't seen all year. And Jeff Seidel, actually, of the Detroit Free Press, quote, U of M's Harbaugh outcoached by D'Antonio. That is one of the headliners on Freep.com right now. My favorite quote from Saturday, Isaac has it queued up, and you just heard it to end that introduction. Favorite quote right here from Coach D.
I don't know. You know, we've done it 8 times. We've done it 8 times. So, you know, I don't know why there's a lot of doubt.
As if to say, duh, wake up. This is what we do. This is what I do. Coach D'Antonio relished every minute of that postgame presser. And after he said, we've done it 8 times, he kind of smirked. He really enjoyed proving those who have criticized his program dating back to last year. He loved proving them wrong. Smirking from time to time and just exuding a confident bravado that has been itching to silence the haters. 8 of the last 10. Just think about that for a second. 8 of the last 10. He's beaten the Wolverines 80% of the time that he's played them in the last decade. 8-2 since Mike Hart's little brother comments. He's 8-3 overall when you look at, you know, if you add the extra year that he's been coaching Michigan State football. But 8-2 since Mike Hart's little brother comments. This is nothing new. MSU was 4-1 at Michigan Stadium. Coach D'Antonio has never lost 2 straight to U of M. He is the only coach in the Big Ten to defeat Jim Harbaugh and Ohio State's Urban Meyer twice. Impressive. Impressive. And what's even more impressive is, again, you do it after coming off a 3-9 season, which produced an offseason about as bad as you can get. How he did it was truly admirable. When you dissect the game now on Saturday night, MSU's defense forcing 5 turnovers. John O'Korn, 3 interceptions in the second half. He had back-to-back INTs to David Dow in the third quarter. We saw fumbles from Ty Isaac as Joe Bocci, who, I don't know if you heard, but he has just been named Big Ten Defensive Player of the Week by the conference. But Ty Isaac, Joe Bocci whipped the strip. Bocci also had a sack and an interception. He posted 10 tackles on Saturday night, 6 of them solo dolo. And we also saw a fumble from Sean McEwen, who, after picking up 36 yards on a reception, we saw Justin Lane, who's not known as a big hitter. Justin Lane said hello with a great hit that led to the fumble. The Spartans now have 13 sacks through 5 games. That's 2 more than they had the entirety of last season. That MSU defensive line was so good. Just dominated up front, held U of M to a season-low 102 rush yards, added 2 more tackles for loss. The Spartans are now tied for 11th nationally in run defense, allowing 97.2 yards per game. It's Mark D'Antonio, folks. He is a defensive-minded coach who knows how to orchestrate a defense. And how about the play calling? Mad props to the play calling, because I was sitting in the press box, and I'm sure you thought the same as you were on the sidelines, Isaac. The play calling was unlike anything we've seen this year from MSU, and heck, anything we've seen dating back to last year. Dave Warner has been criticized time and time again for his conservative play calling. We saw some things on Saturday night that we haven't seen before. Specifically, I want to bring up the screen pass. The screen pass that Michigan State dialed up in the second quarter. Lewerke drops back, fakes a handoff, waits, and then finds Madre London and just trickles up the right side of the field, across the pylons. And it was funny to be looking at that play, looking back at that play, because, you know, you saw guys like Brian Allen and another lineman, you know, kind of like looking for somebody to block, because they completely fooled the Michigan defense, left them in the dust on that play. Lewerke, like, you know, he hopscotched his way for six on that play. 16 yards into the end zone. Where has that been? You know, I got the feeling watching that play that Coach D, Dave Warner, they have been sitting on that type of play calling all season, not wanting to give anything away before this matchup. That thought crossed my mind for sure. And how about Brian Lewerke, who I believe grew up a little bit on Saturday night, shaking off the Notre Dame loss on primetime television under the lights. You know, I kind of felt like Brian Lewerke basically, you know, approached this matchup and said, look, I've been under the lights before. This is against, you know, our in-state rival, so it's a little more on the line here. This is a much more emotional matchup. But, you know, Brian Lewerke looked comfortable. He really did. 11 of 22 for 94 yards and a touchdown. As I mentioned in the headliners, ran 15 times for 61 yards and another score. And again, that head first dive for the first TD was absolutely fantastic. You really saw the toughness of this kid on that play. It was remarkable. Again, his numbers, and again, it's hard to throw up big numbers in that kind of weather because, you know, it was funny because listening to Brian Lewerke in the postgame presser, you know, he had talked to his dad about the weather prior to the game, and his father gave him some great advice that he did adhere to. His pops basically said, look, the weather's not going to be great in the second half. Score early because it's going to be very tough to do so in the second half. And that's exactly what MSU did. The MSU offense scored all 14 of its points in the first half. And then how about Madre London? You know, I mentioned London on that screen pass, right? Michigan State's Madre London filling in for LJ Scott. Don't know. That's the big question mark coming out of that matchup, right, Isaac? Because, you know, we saw LJ, on the sideline, helmet off. He was suited and booted, but helmet off. You know, I saw him. He had like a towel around his neck, just basically chilling. Madre London filling in for LJ Scott. He had a 50-yard run, actually. Finished with 59 yards, rushing on 10 carries. Had a touchdown reception on that screen pass that I mentioned. Madre was impressive, I must say. The run game opened up a bit for MSU, and Madre was the more impressive of the two between himself and Gerald Holmes. But I'm curious. I don't know what is going on with LJ Scott. And when it comes to LJ Scott, D'Antonio did comment on LJ Scott after the game and said that, quote, we felt he could have played, but couldn't risk having him out a couple weeks. I don't know what that means. To my knowledge, Isaac, I don't think LJ Scott was hurt approaching this matchup. So I don't know. I think that a game like this, especially the conditions of the weather, right? You know, rainy, LJ Scott does have a fumbling problem. I'm going to call it like I see it, right? He does have a turnover problem. Madre was playing well. Stick him in there. Keep him in there. So I want to get your thoughts on this. And the question I'm asking on today's show, have the expectations now changed for Michigan State football? With this win, you're now only two away from becoming bowl eligible. You now have one more win than you had the entirety of last season. You're now ranked in both the Associated Press College Football Poll and the USA Today Coaches Poll. Have the expectations changed for you as Spartan fans when evaluating this program? 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. Isaac,
We do have two callers on the line. I know Dave and Austin are waiting patiently, but I want to get your thoughts. When you were shooting that game from the sideline, and you saw, you experienced the conditions of that weather firsthand shooting that game. But you heard my spiel. The defense was absolutely awesome. I mentioned names like Joe Bocci, who was, gosh, Bocci's good, right? Mm-hmm. David Dow, Justin Lane with the great hit. 5 takeaways in total. John O'Korn, everybody was high on John O'Korn after seeing what he was able to do now, 3 weeks ago, filling in for Wilton Spate. But John O'Korn was not great. Now, again, in his defense, the weather wasn't great, and I think he was forced to try and make plays in that horrible weather. Had some turnovers, and a lot of people are like, okay, maybe O'Korn isn't the guy now. Who knows? But what are your takeaways from this win for Michigan State, and have your expectations changed now after this win?
John O'Korn, I want to make it known, he led that ship through a storm, and they sunk. It's not to say that conditions were perfect or anything like that, but the storm sunk the ship. He didn't sink the ship. The storm sunk the ship.
Let's be real, though. I mean, that throw to Bocci is like, come on, dude.
And that was bad.
That's a bad throw.
But I expected, in good weather conditions, for O'Korn to probably have 2 picks in that game. I don't know about you, but I thought MSU would manage to get to him in the backfield, as they did. Kenny Wilk has ravaged that offensive line. And then I expected O'Korn, in his first big start this year. I mean, let's keep it real. Last game was not necessarily anything where you saw him come in and you thought, oh, man, this is do or die for John O'Korn. No, right. It wasn't.
And Purdue's secondary, is horrible. Right?
Exactly. This was the big game. And honestly, in conditions like this, it's why I expected. Brian Lewerke captained his ship through this storm, and he did not have 100 passing yards on the day. When is the last time that a quarterback did not have 100 passing yards on the day? And you look and you say, boy, he might be the guy to lead MSU back to glory. Because that's what Saturday night was for me. I saw Lewerke, and I saw a guy who's a redshirt sophomore handle it like a fifth-year senior. I saw somebody who, before this year, had a season-ending injury against the University of Michigan come in and make amends for all. I saw Lewerke lead this team, and he's got those X-factor plays
right,
where you just don't know what's coming. You keep on saying no, 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 and it works out. He rolls over Brian Allen for the first down.
He fumbles it, gets the first down.
He's got the X-factor.
This is the first time the Michigan defense has gone against a legit dual-threat quarterback. He may have not have had, he had 94 yards through the air, didn't touch 100 yards through the air, but 155 total yards of net.
With
the rushing yards. So he's a different quarterback for this Michigan defense to deal with.
He is. And as you mentioned, Dave Warner turned the play calling up. He was prepared for rivalry day. There's a question at running back now. And I would go with Madre London. People forget that Madre London was the guy his freshman year as well. He came in. Everybody was so hyped up. And then LJ Scott stole his thunder, no pun intended, from last night. This time, it was the reverse. Madre London stole the thunder of LJ Scott. But as to your question, have expectations changed? You'd be stupid to say no. I said 6-6 before the season. Mm-hmm. This team does not go 6-6. I would bet $1 million that they win more than 6 games. And that was the consensus. It was 6-6 or 5-7 or 7-5. Mm-hmm. Now there's a legitimate question. Can this team win 9 or 10 games? That is not a reach. That is a possibility.
Okay, I think the question now is, anybody want to bet Isaac Constance? I guess you got $1 million sitting there, right, if they don't do it, huh?
Yeah, yeah.
Let's do it. All right, well, let's hit our first break. I see Dave. I see you, Austin. We're going to get to your calls after the first break. 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. What are your thoughts after evaluating the big Michigan State football win over U of M on Saturday night? And have the expectations changed? We'll be right back. We'll be right back. Welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin. Of course, we are recapping what took place in Ann Arbor on Saturday night as Michigan State stuns the Michigan Wolverines in a battle under the rain. Yeah, it was a crazy game, entertaining game, a weird game due to the weather conditions. But nonetheless, the Spartans topping Jim Harbaugh and the Wolverines. And again, we're asking the question now with Michigan State now sitting with four wins on the year. Again, they're two away from being bowl eligible. Have your expectations changed for the Spartans? Let's go to line one right now. First, I want to get to Dave from Wyoming, who has a take on the game. Dave, how you doing, my man? And welcome to Current Sports.
Well, thank you. It never gets old. It was so good that I didn't even bother texting my Michigan friends because I knew how bad they felt.
You didn't rub it in, huh, Dave?
I have plenty of time to. They've reminded me so much of 9 and 3, 3 and 9 that they know that 8's going to be the magic number for the next year. So, we'll remind them of that. Regarding, first of all, LJ Scott, this is truly unsubstantiated rumor, okay? But I have been told by some people I know who are in and around campus that he got dinged, and a lot of people forget that he had shoulder surgery last year, one or two of them,
right,
on the same shoulder. And if he got dinged in that shoulder, Michigan State still got Penn State to come up. They got going to Minnesota, which isn't going to be easy. And they've got two pretty capable running backs behind them. So it's not like there's a huge drop-off. And I probably on the side of caution, had him in there. If something awful would have happened, we might have seen him, but don't think so. Regarding Lewerke, I just think he's a lot like Kirk Cousins.
You think so? In what way?
He's Kirk Cousins the way he controls the game, the way he seems to control the huddle. He doesn't get too wound up, and he makes plays. They don't look spectacular. He's not the fastest runner. I think that's the biggest thing, is he has much more willing legs than Kirk did early on. But they both find a way to deliver. I called you last week, and we talked a little bit about Don Brown,
the all-great
and powerful Don Brown.
His defense,
and if you don't think that Wisconsin and Penn State and Ohio State offensive coordinators are looking at that misdirection and watch how all 11 Michigan players jumped on that fake going to the other side.
Right.
It was almost as bad as the Lions coverage of the tight end yesterday, but they just couldn't do it. And I guess I'll leave by one. I don't know how Lewerke does it, because obviously he's no good because he wasn't recruited by Notre Dame, Michigan, or Ohio State. Right.
Right.
And those are the only quarterbacks who are any good. 2 points then. Secondly, all this stuff we've heard about Jim Harbaugh being the quarterback whisperer, well, he's got a guy who transferred in the first year he was there, so he had Harbaugh's offense spring ball, and then the whole season of 15.
Right, right.
And now 16, and now we're in 17, and maybe it's just, for whatever reason, he couldn't make it work. And the last thing is, as far as last I checked, the Michigan offensive coordinators had the same opportunity to run the kind of plays that Michigan State ran in that first half to take advantage. I mean, unless somebody kept him in a blackout and didn't tell him where the weather was coming.
And right? I tell you what, watching that first drive, Dave, I thought that it was going to be a good day for Michigan State because, it seemed like they drove down the field on that opening drive, 16 plays, 64 yards. They ate up like 7 minutes of the first quarter on an opening drive, and you don't get seven out of it. You get a Quinn Nordeen 30-yard field goal. I think that was huge. That stance was huge because it could have been worse, for sure.
But it was classic, and people get on Warner, but it's classic D'Antonio do-no-harm offense.
Right.
right? Please don't screw it up for my defense type offense plays.
Right.
And, you know, and I'll just leave with saying it doesn't get old, and I didn't get to sleep till about 3:30, quarter to 4, and then when I hit the hay, I was still tossing around like a little kid before Christmas. It's just...
Love it, Dave.
Beating Michigan State and beating Michigan and beating Notre Dame always makes that happen.
Thanks. All right. Dave from Wyoming. Dave, thank you so much. All right, line two. Austin from Kalamazoo. Austin, what's up, dude?
Hello. All right.
We got you. Oh, you're kind of fuzzy, but we got you. What's on your mind?
So, about the game, man, I'll be honest, and I am so true when I say this. I told everybody that Michigan State would win this game once I heard it came down to the weather because our running backs and Lewerke, and you see Lewerke got some huge first downs on his feet.
Mm-hmm.
And as far as L.J. Scott, that's interesting. Yes, he had a shoulder injury, but with that weather, my thinking on it is I don't want to risk him fumbling the ball. So I think that's why he didn't play.
Mm-hmm.
And the second thing, Jim Harbaugh is not Jesus, Michigan. So just accept the fact that you got a system issue going on and the coach won't save it.
All right. Austin bringing the heat. Appreciate it, dude. And again, to answer the question I'm asking our listeners out there, I mean, you know, has this changed your expectations for this program? Has Saturday's outcome changed where you predict MSU, you know, will finish as far as in the win column for this year, Austin?
I think they will finish with at least 10 wins. I wouldn't be surprised if we snuck in a Big Ten championship game, if I'm being 100% honest with you. I think we rattled a lot of teams in the Big Ten, and all I see right now being our only – because do we have Penn State on the schedule this year?
I do believe so. Well, do they play Penn State this year, Isaac?
Yeah, they play Penn State. That'll be a home game. November 4th.
On November 4th, yep.
November 4th, okay. I honestly see that being the only game where, you know, it's a little questionable. But like I said, I wouldn't be surprised if we either finish, if we make the Big Ten championship or if we miss it by one game.
Yeah, and they play, and again, after Penn State, they have to go on the road to play Ohio State on November 11th. So that'd be telling as if they can get over those two humps. I mean, they got Maryland and then Rutgers to finish out the year. So we'll see what happens, Austin.
Yeah, you guys have a good one.
All right, appreciate it. Again,
everybody research Hondo Carpenter's article that he wrote about the game. It's a great article.
Okay. All right. 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527 is the number to call. You can also weigh in via Facebook at facebook.com/currentsports and tweet us at Al Martin WKAR or at WKAR_sports. Just to read a few comments here, Isaac, I want to get to before we hit this break. Ben Grimes weighs in and says, yes, Al, we will beat Minnesota and sink the boat. I like that. And we will beat Indiana for homecoming and we will become bowl eligible as long as the defense plays the way it has the last 2 weeks. And if the offense can play solid and, get through four quarters instead of getting conservative for two out of the four quarters, we have a legitimate shot at 10 or 11 wins. And then James Taylor weighs in and says, I truly think Michigan State's defense can play with anybody. As far as the offense, if the quarterback and receivers get on the same page, watch out. Sky is the limit. All right, let's hit our final break. When we come back, we'll talk about the Detroit Lions as the Lions fell to the Carolina Panthers at home yesterday. What does that loss mean for the Lions as the season rolls along? That, as well as weekend winners, don't touch that dial. WKAR 517-355-9527 is the number to call. We have spent the last 45 minutes talking about the big Michigan State win over the Michigan Wolverines on Saturday night. And we're asking the question here on today's show, have your expectations now changed for this program? Getting a big win like that over a top 10 program, ranked program, Michigan State now ranked, of course, in both polls after that win. But have your expectations changed? Again, 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. Let's talk Lions, though, right now, because the Detroit Lions didn't look so hot through three quarters against the Carolina Panthers at home yesterday. They were down 27-10 going into the final stanza, and that's when it seemed like that offense kind of woke up, and Matthew Stafford tried to lead his team to a dub, another fourth quarter comeback win for the 10th time in the last two seasons. But that did not happen. The Lions lose and will now travel to play the New Orleans Saints in week six. The Saints sitting at 2-2, and they are coming off a bye week. Look at this game. The Lions sitting at 3-2 for the season now. There are numerous areas that really stand out and have to be corrected if the Lions, are going to have a legitimate shot at winning the NFC North, especially after, oh my gosh, I hate to bring this up, because it turned my stomach watching it, of course, with me being a Dallas Cowboys fan. But Aaron Rodgers and the Packers pick up a win on Sunday while the Lions lose. Thank you, Isaac. Aaron Rodgers, you can't give that man any time. You just can't do that. The Cowboys score is like a minute and some change left, and Aaron Rodgers just finds a way to lead his team down the field, and he breaks the hearts of many Dallas Cowboys fans, including myself, with how that game ended yesterday. But again, to make my point here, the Lions, if they want to compete with the Packers in that division, a few things are going to have to change. The Lions have given up 11 sacks in the last two games. Now, we just talked about a stat, Isaac, that what the Michigan State football team has around that through what, like five games this year?
Games.
I mean, come on, dude. 11 sacks in the last two games, that can't happen. And Matthew Stafford, 19 QB hits in that span of time. 19 times. That can't happen. Matthew Stafford, his durability blows. It just blows my mind every time I think about it, because you look at stats like that, and he has not had a great offensive line throughout the duration of his time as the Detroit Lions starting quarterback, but he stays healthy. Now, he did require medical attention after virtually every drive in that second half. He needed his right thigh wrapped, his right ankle wrapped, and he was noticeably actually bleeding from his left hand in two different spots. The man looked like he fought a 12-round fight. Not in the ring, but in the octagon on Sunday. It was crazy watching that. But what do you expect? I mean, if your quarterback is getting hit that amount of times, how is he going to stay healthy? And I think part of that had to do with that offensive line, but also a part of that had to do with receivers not able to get open. It amazed me how that wide receiver core on Sunday was not able to get really any separation against a Carolina Panthers secondary that is not that great. So the receivers didn't help the cause on Sunday. Matthew Stafford completed 65.7% of his passes for 229 yards, two scores, no picks. But before those final two drives in the final 9 minutes of the game, Stafford had completed just 59% of his passes for 105 yards and no score. So that's a pretty telling statistic, right? No turnovers for that Lions defense. 11 for the season. They have been a pleasant surprise, as we've noted, throughout the past few weeks here on the show. But no turnovers for that Lions defense was pretty shocking to me. The Lions run game, a miss for another Sunday. Only 50 yards on the ground. So that is also an area that is not helping Matthew Stafford in the pocket. If you don't have a run game, it's all on you. It's all on your arm. And you don't have a balanced attack. and you become very predictable. On the flip side, well, I do want to make one more point, though. One more point as it pertains to Eric Ebron, because there's a lot of chatter around Ebron now. Because I believe, Isaac, if Eric Ebron catches that ball on the opening drive, a would-be, for sure, touchdown, the Lions have to settle for three there. That's the difference in the game like this. That's your difference, right? If Eric Ebron catches that football, my tone is entirely different on today's show. That's 7 points right there. Assuming that, of course, they kick the extra point, and that's good. But still, I mean, that's your difference right there. Eric Ebron, if you catch that football, the Lions win that game. So, you know, watching that game, you know, we heard a lot of boos. A lot of boos after that. And, you know, I saw this as well. Eric Ebron, he was actually featured in an in-stadium video that was played during a break in the action. And boos everywhere when that video played and showed Ebron on the screen. He was booed also on another drop in that game. And he, like, sarcastically cheered when he made his only his only successful snag of the game. He was so bothered by the crowd at Ford Field that he actually decided to hop on Twitter, because again, that's how we make official statements and that's how we vent to the world. He hopped on Twitter and tweeted this, quote, "Some of you wouldn't know the half. Boo me all you want, but pay attention to the whole picture. Hashtag stay woke." Pretty cryptic, right? I don't know what he's talking about. I had to really think about, you know, why hashtag stay woke? What are you talking about? What are you talking about, Eric? Who are you trying to put this on? Just catch the football. What are you talking about? Look at the whole picture. Catch the football, dude. You're wide open on that opening drive. What do you mean here? So I don't know. Maybe he's talking about, you know, maybe the chemistry of the team. I don't know. Who knows? Do you have any idea? Do you want to take a stab at what stay woke means in that tweet?
I would guess is he's saying that there's more to the game than catching the football. There's blocking. But the guy is a receiving tight end. He is not a blocking tight end. He's not somebody who's even adequate at blocking. Yeah, he's more of a slot receiver. And he's part of the reason Matthew Stafford gets sacked than to come back and say, hey, the drop wasn't all my fault. Stay woke. No.
I don't know what he's talking about. Maybe he's talking about his coach, Jim Caldwell, but, you know, Caldwell didn't throw him under the bus after that during the post-game presser, you know, and Caldwell's known for being a coach that players love to play for. But one catch for 6 yards on six targets, that's not the type of day that you would expect from your starting tight end. That cannot happen, Eric Ebron. So you need to wake up. Talk about staying woke. Wake up, Eric, because if you continue to have performances like that, your career is going to be very short in this league. That cannot happen. Darren Fells is nipping at the heels of that starting spot right now, if you ask me. You know, Darren Fells, he had a TD. And a lot of people believe that Fells is the tight end that should be starting right now for that Detroit Lions offense. And you look at Cam Newton, you know, Cam Newton had a season high 355 passing yards, 3 touchdowns. He played well through 3 quarters. I was very impressed with what Cam was able to do. He had some very tough throws that he was able to pull off, especially that play, you know, where there was some confusion when it comes to the Carolina Panthers offense, the touchdown throw to Devin Funchess. He said that wasn't the play, but it was. It kind of broke down, I guess, and he was able to find Devin Funchess, who also made a miraculous catch. Devin Funchess from Farmington Hills Harrison High School. He had about 60 people show up just for him in that game. So that's just a little preview. I have some hard statements to make about this Lions team, and again, we'll preview the Saints and Lions matchup on tomorrow's show. But right now, we have about 3 minutes left. We're going to welcome Caitlin Plug back to the show for Weekend Winners.
This is what's great about sports. This is what the greatest thing about sports is. You play to win the game. Hello? You play to win the game. You don't play to just play it. That's the great thing about sports.
Yo,
All right, weekend winners. Well, mine is pretty obvious. I'm going with the Michigan State Spartans. What a win it was. They were 12.5-point underdogs coming into this matchup. They get a big win on the road out in A-squared. No breaking news there for me. Going with the Spartans. Isaac, you got some losers, though, that are pretty funny.
Pessimistic Mondays. I've got to start off with Jay Fioy, a Michigan guy who made their weekend just a little bit worse.
Fracano's long is 46. He didn't go back this far in warm-ups. This would be a big kick for him.
6 of 7 on the year is Paulie Fracano. Fracano is 6 of 8 now.
Off the crossbar. He just barely had enough, but he knocked it through, Ben. Gets him even. That's a big kick for Paulie Fracano. Eastern Michigan answers. 3-3.
The score was actually 3-0. Jay Fioy totally missed that call. And the kick, ow. I'm not sure if you saw it. It was half of the length of the goalpost wide. That was terrible.
And also Reggie Jackson as well is another loser, right? Reggie tried to take a Sprite from the media room.
A bratwurst. And he got a Sprite, but got kicked out before he could get a bratwurst. And the security had no idea who he was.
Hilarious stuff. Caitlin, really briefly, we only got like 20 seconds here, but you're going with the Wings and why?
I'm going with the Wings because of Jimmy Howard. Jimmy Howard has been incredible in the first two games. He 37 saves on 38 shots. Won him in the shootout. Just incredible play by him right now.
Good choice, and we'll have you throughout the week to talk about the Wings as well as they continue the very start of the regular season. All right, thank you, Caitlin. Thank you, Isaac. Thank you all out there for listening. We'll be back at it. Same time, same place tomorrow. Be easy, people.